بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. الحمد لله. This is our 10th session and 10th hadith from Arabic lessons in hadith level 2 المستوى الثاني for the Islamic University of Medina Arabic program. This is our 10th session, and today, inshallah, we're going to take the 10th hadith. And this means that we're halfway through this curriculum, which contains 20 hadith. So at this point, everybody should really be looking at themselves and pushing yourself a little bit to make sure that you are with us. Walaikum salam. That you are with us, yani, now, so that you'll be with us at the end. Yani, if you're a little behind, try to catch up. And especially in memorization, yani, try to memorize the hadith weekly. Yani, you have 7 days to memorize the hadith. Usually those hadith are relatively short, yani, 10 words or less, or close to that, a little more, a little less. And in 7 days, inshallah, it's possible for most of us to memorize them. So yani, today, inshallah, we're going to take the 10th hadith, which means that we're halfway through. And it's a good time to, you know, review where you're at, and if you're behind, to try to catch up, push a little harder, and make sure that you don't fall further behind. All right, today, inshallah, the hadith that we're going to take today is also a relatively short hadith. It's only 6 words. Huh? So, I mean, everybody should memorize this hadith. It's a hadith of great importance, which is another encouragement to memorize it. And before we start with the hadith today, with the points that are mentioned here in the book and other points that we may add to it according to the time that we have, we want to review a little bit some of the hadith that we had in previous weeks. Wa alaykum salam. Alright, so if you can help me a little bit, we're going to look back and start from the beginning and review just a few of the hadith for the next few minutes, maybe 10 minutes, and then we'll go into the hadith. Going to take about 10 minutes, inshallah, to review from the beginning. The first hadith is the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, and it's reported by Imam Muslim. Anybody memorize this hadith? If you open your book, it's okay, but don't read from the book. I mean, you can look at it, but when you start reciting, you have to recite from memory. If you want to look at it before you recite, no problem. You can open your book and look at it, but once you raise your hand to recite, you have to recite from memory. Now, did you raise your hand? Now, fadl. نعم لا لا و لا تأكلوا بالشمال فإن الشيطان يأكل بالشمال. Anybody else memorize this hadith? نعم.
And Jabir, right?
Jabir with Jabir, a long A, short Jabir, I. Jabir. نعم. عن جابر.
قال رسول
رضي الله عنه.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقول
عليكم السلام
لا تقول بالشمال
شمالي شمالي
شمالي
شمالي
فإن شيطان
يأكل
شمال.
نعم. The hadith of Jabir, and this is Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنه. Hadith of Jabir رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تأكلوا بالشمال. Do not eat with your left, meaning left hand. لا تأكلوا بالشمال. Why? فإن الشيطان يأكل بالشمال. For indeed, شيطان eats with his left, meaning his left hand. Rawahu Muslim. This is the first hadith that we took. Do not eat with your left hand, because indeed shaitan eats with his left hand, reported by Muslim on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. Type second hadith. The second hadith is hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, also reported by Muslim. Anybody memorize the second hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu? Now.
An Abi Huraira. أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمن قوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير
في كل
خيرٌ.
Reported by
رواه مسلم.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي and we added to it وفي كل خير يعني we didn't add it but يعني it's part of the hadith but we only mentioned the first part here in the book. And up until Habbu ilallahi min al-mu'min al-da'if. And we said we just wanted to add these words that also came from the hadith, wa fi kullin khayrun, than in each of them. Yani the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. And we said, yani also the hadith contains the words, and in each of them there is khayr. And this hadith is also reported by Imam Muslim. Anybody else memorize the second hadith? Second hadith. Naam, Abu Bakr. Reported by? طيب رواه مسلم. Okay, the next hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim also on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. Anybody memorize the third hadith? نعم. تفضل.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسلم الصغير على الكبير القائد على
والمار
على القائد والصغير
والقليل
على الكبير
القليل على قليل على الكثير. نعم. Reported by
البخاري
متفق عليه البخاري المسلم مسلم. نعم. Anyone else memorize the third hadith? نعم. It's reported by Abu Huraira. والمار
على القائل والقليل على الكثير.
متفق عليه. Okay, so this is the third hadith that we took. We're just trying to do a quick review to make sure, and we don't just let these hadith float away, get away from us after we have memorized them. Third hadith is on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسلم الصغير على الكبير. يعني that the young person should initiate salams to the older person. وَالْمَارُّ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِ And the one who is passing by should initiate salams to the one who is sitting. وَالْقَلِيلُ عَلَى الْكَثِيرِ And the smaller group, يعني who are lesser in number, should initiate salams to the larger group. يعني متفق عليه. Okay, and we'll take one more hadith. We said 10 minutes. Take one more hadith, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, reported also by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith, naam, number four, naam. Huh? Number four, hadith of Anas, yani yatba'u an mayyita thalathatun. Naam, fadl.
An Anasin radiallahu anhu, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal. يتبع الميت ثلاثة أهله وماله وعمله فيرجي اثنان ويبقى واحد يرجي أهله وماله ويبقى عمله
متفق عليه. نعم. Anybody else memorize the fourth hadith, the hadith of Anas. نعم. يتبع
الميت
الميتة
ثلاثة
اثنان و اثنان اوكي اثنان نعم مرفوع مرفوع
ويرجي اثنان ويبقى واحد ويرجي اهله وماله ويبقى عمله
نعم this is the fourth نعم متفق عليه fourth حديث حديث of Anas رضي الله عنه قال عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني Anas reports from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said يتبع الميت ثلاثة يعني the dead person the deceased would be followed by three أهله وماله وعمله يعني his family and his wealth and his deeds فيرجع اثنان two of them would return يرجع اثنان ويبقى واحد and one would remain with him and then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم explained the specifics of that he said يرجع أهله وماله يعني his family and his wealth would return يعني would leave the cemetery ويبقى عمله and his deeds would remain with him متفق عليه okay we're going to stop here and go to the hadith for tonight I left a board for the attendance for the sisters. Did somebody get it? Okay, yeah. Oh, no, nobody got it. Can somebody just take this? This is the attendance for the sisters after the end of the class. If somebody could send it back. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. This is a quick review. First four hadith. And as I mentioned earlier in the beginning of the class, and today we're going to take the 10th hadith. So we want to try, you know, whenever we have time, we want to review some of the hadith to make sure that everybody is trying to keep up. If we have any time at the end of the class, we'll try to review yani, the next couple of hadith after the first four. If not, in the next class, inshallah, somebody remind us that we want to review from the fifth hadith until we review all of them. Inshallah, each week we'll try to review a few hadith. Okay, today the hadith that we're going to take today, as we said, it is the 10th hadith. Hadith number 10. And this is our 10th session. And this hadith is a short hadith. As many of the hadith that we've taken, less than 10 words. This hadith is only 6 words. Perhaps we can count it as 6 words, naam. Or even 5, maybe. But we'll say, yani, a noun and a pronoun, we'll count them as 2. Just to yani, increase the number of words, right? It's not a lot, it's very easy. Okay, this hadith is the hadith of Uthman. And that is, who is Uthman that we're talking about here? Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, who was the third Khalifa. He was the third Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leader of the Muslims, one who had many virtues. An Uthman radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه رواه البخاري يعني عن عثمان رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني that Uthman he said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said خيركم يعني the best of you the best of the Muslims خيركم من تعلم القرآن is the one who learns the Quran. خيركم, the best of you is the one who تعلم, who learns Al-Quran وعلمه. And also, in addition to learning it, he also علمه. يعني he taught it. The one who learns the Quran and also teaches it. يعني the one who learns the Quran to benefit themselves and then teaches it to benefit others. This is the perfect condition when a person yani, is good within themselves and then they also try to share the good, spread the good to the other people. Yani, the salih, righteous person who's righteous within themselves and then they are muslih, yani, who tries to reform and rectify and improve the other people in the society. This is the best condition of a believer, that they be righteous within themselves and then they also try to yani, rectify and reform and improve the society. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and as we said previously and according to the majority, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, majority of the Muslim scholars past and present. The most authentic of books after the Quran is the collection of hadith, yani of the sayings and actions and approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and his collection of hadith is considered to be the most authentic collection. So this is a very important hadith. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari collected it for us, and yani it's collected in other books too, but this is the most important source for this hadith, yani reported by Al-Bukhari. As far as the words in this hadith, and we're going to look at them, but if anybody wants to ask about any of these words now, yani khayrukum, khayr we know very well means good, right? And kum is the preposition, yani preposition, pronoun, yani second person, masculine, plural. And here, even though it's masculine, plural, yani in this type of usage, it's general, yani to include everyone. In the same way that we say assalamu alaikum, we don't just mean to the men present, but we mean to everybody, right? So khayrukum, the best of you, meaning of the Muslim ummah. Men, yani men, distinguish men from min. Min is from, and men is who. Yani men anta, who are you? Here, this is a relative pronoun, mean the one who. The best of you is one who ta'allama. Ta'allama, and this verb allama, from the same root. Ayn, lam, mim. Ta'allama means to learn, and allama means to teach. Okay, ta'allama, to learn, and allama means to teach. So the best of you is the one who ta'allama al-Qur'an, who learns the Qur'an, wa'allamahu, and teaches it, meaning teaches it to others, rawahu al-Bukhari. And we want to say, yani if we have time, inshallah, we'll talk a little bit about this word, al-Qur'an. Yani this is a word that's known to all of us. There's no Muslim that doesn't know what is Qur'an. But maybe, yani sometimes there are some issues that we need to think about so that we're clear on what we mean by Qur'an, especially yani amongst English-speaking people, and maybe not just amongst English-speaking people, but a lot of times we use the word Qur'an when in fact it's not the place to use the word Qur'an. Yani sometimes somebody says, hand me a Qur'an, and they mean Mus'haf. Yani the Mus'haf is not the Qur'an. Mus'haf means the collection of papers that has printed upon it with ink or whatever, yani the words that Allah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, that paper and that ink and that collection, binding or whatever of it, yani it's called the Mus'haf. It's called the Mus'haf. Okay, and we want to be careful that we be conscious at least of what we mean by Mus'haf and what we mean by Quran. And these two words are not interchangeable. They are not interchangeable. They don't mean the same thing. And if somebody might say, I have three extra Qur'ans at home, and there's only one Qur'an that Allah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. There's no three Qur'ans. Okay, you may have three copies, printed copies, yani meaning masahif, but you don't have three Qur'ans. Give me a big Qur'an and a small Qur'an. There's only one Qur'an. Okay, it's that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke, his speech, the speech of Allah. Yani as Al-Imam Ahmad said in Usul al-Sunnah, Al-Quran kalamullah ghayru makhluk. Al-Quran kalamullah ghayru makhluk. The Quran is the speech of Allah, and it's not created. It's not created. As far as the paper and ink and the pens that wrote, yani what are in these mushaf, the masahif, this is created. This paper is created, and the ink is created. But the Qur'an is not created. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah. It's not created. Okay, so if we have a chance, we want to speak about this a little bit today, if we have some time. But I just want to allude to it now, in case we don't have time, to remind ourselves that indeed, the paper and the ink that the Mus'haf is composed of, yani the Mus'haf is created, and the Qur'an is not created. Okay, so we want to be clear on this particular point. Indeed, yani what is memorized in the hearts of the believers, what is memorized in the hearts is Qur'an, and that which is recited is Qur'an, and that which is written is Qur'an, not the paper and the ink that it's written with. Okay, so we want to try to keep this in mind. When we're talking about this Qur'an, we're talking about that which Allah revealed, that which Allah spoke, his speech, he revealed it to the Prophet ﷺ, and the believers believe in it, this Qur'an. This Qur'an is the greatest of speech, it's the speech of Allah. Whoever learns it has learned the best of what anyone can learn. And whoever teaches it has taught the best of what anyone can teach. And if a person teaches hadith from Bukhari, this is very wonderful. But the Quran is greater than that. Now, the best of you is the one who learns the Quran. And of course, there's a lot of discussion concerning this. You know, some of the scholars have mentioned, from amongst the points that they mentioned concerning this particular hadith, is that learning doesn't just mean the one who learned how to recite and who recites very beautiful. Rather, it means the person who learns the Quran, understands its meaning, and lives by it, practices it. Okay, it's not just, mashallah, this brother, he memorized Quran, mashallah, he recites very beautiful, he doesn't understand any of it. He doesn't believe what he's reciting in the Quran, he doesn't understand it. He believes that you can go to a grave and pray to a dead person. The Quran doesn't teach that. He memorized the Quran, but he doesn't understand it. Or he memorized the Quran and maybe he understands it, but he doesn't act upon it. This is not what we're talking about. This is not the best of people. The best of people are the people who learn the Quran, know its meanings, and act upon it, live by it. Yani believe what it teaches, and acts, yani worships according to what it contains, and manners and character and behavior, yani according to what is in the Quran. According to what is in the Quran. And I just want to stop here and say that recently I heard somebody say, and I heard it many times in the past, in praising description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a walking Quran. And the Quran is not created, and the Prophet is a human being, he was created. So how can he be a walking Quran? The Quran cannot be walking on the earth. The Quran is the speech of Allah, it's not created. So this statement and the likes of it with different wordings is falsehood, dangerous falsehood, kufr actually. When somebody's saying that the Quran is in the form of a human being walking on the earth, they're saying Quran is created. This is kufr. Person may say that, they don't know that what they're saying, they don't understand, they don't mean it. But anyway, they have to be corrected and they have to retract. And they can't stand upon that. Because to say the Quran, which is the speech of Allah, any characteristic of Allah, to say that it's created is kufr. Person became an apostate by agreement of the scholars of Islam. Whoever says that any sifa, any characteristic of Allah is created, and the speech is from the sifat of Allah. The speech of Allah is from his sifat. Whoever says any of the sifat of Allah is created, that's kufr. Very dangerous matter. In any case, now.
I have a comment to the second question. They say, when they say that in the Quran, they try to say that the manners mentioned in the Quran.
But it doesn't matter. If you mean his manners, then say his manners. Don't say he's walking Quran.
I agree with
that. We don't say he's walking Quran. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Kana khulukuhu al-Quran. Kana khulukuhu al-Quran. Yani his character was from the Quran. Not that he was a Quran walking on the earth. That's a different thing altogether. If you mean that his character is based upon the Quran, say that. Don't say he's a walking Quran. Say what you mean. Because what you're saying is something different, and this is a dangerous statement. Okay, let's go on and look at what is mentioned concerning this particular hadith. And the hadith again is an Uthman radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama khayrukum, the best of you is man ta'allama al-Qur'ana, the one who learns the Qur'an, wa'allamahu, with shadda on the lam, allamahu. Shadda here also, ta'allama al-Qur'an, wa'allamahu. The one who learns the Qur'an and teaches it. Okay, underneath the hadith we see the word, the first word came, allama. Allama, yani is the past tense, which means to teach knowledge, to share ilm. Allama. And the mudari is yu'allimu. Allama yu'allimu. Past tense, he taught. Yu'allimu, present tense, he teaches. The masdar, the infinitive, is ta'alim. Ta'alim. Teaching. And the amr, the fi'l amr, from this verb allama is allim. Allim. With sukoon on the meem. And kasra for the lam with shadda. Allim. Yani the kasra written underneath the shadda. Yani allim here. This is the allim. Yani this kasra written underneath the shadda means that. I mean this line underneath the shadda means that it's kasra. If it's above the shadda, then it's fatha. And normally we write kasra underneath the letter, but with shadda and hamza, you can write the mark underneath the hamza or underneath the shadda. Even though it's above the letter, it means that it's kasra. So please pay attention to this. Yani, the fi'l amra, command, imperative form is allim. Yani, you say to somebody, allim awladakum, teach your children. Allim, allim, teach. So here are some examples of the use of this verb. Allama is the past tense. Yu'allimu is the present tense. Ta'aleem is the masdar, the infinitive, meaning the noun that has the meaning of an action. And the fi'l amr, command form imperative, is allim. Okay, an example of the use of this word, taqulu. You say, for example, allamani. There's a kasra under the meme. That's a mistake. It should be a fatha. Yani in the first word, it should be allamani. Yani with fatha on the meme, not kasra. Allamani abi al-lughata al-arabiyyata. Allamani abi al-lughata al-arabiyyata. Meaning, my father allamani, taught me. Allama, he taught ni, yani noon al-wiqaya, and the ya is the first person singular pronoun. Yani allamani, he taught me. Who taught me? Abi, my father. Al-lughata is the maf'ul bi, the object. What was being taught? The language. Which language? Al-arabiyyata. Yani arabiyya, al-arabiyya is a nat or a sifa describing al-lugha. Al-lughata al-arabiyyata, the Arabic language. My father taught me the Arabic language. Second example, ya ustadhu allimni kayfa usalli. Ya ustadh means what? Oh, professor or teacher. Allimni meaning teach me. Kayfa usalli, how I shall pray. How can I pray? How should I pray? Kayfa usalli, how to pray. How, teach me how to pray. Yani usalli is from salla yusalli, ana usalli. Kayfa usalli, how shall I pray? And here the form of the verb that's used here is the fi'l amr, the command form. Allimni, teach me. The third example, qala Allah ta'ala, yani in the Quran, Allah the Most High says, Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'ana. Yani Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an means Ar-Rahman, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he taught the Qur'an. He taught the Qur'an. Al-Qur'an here, what is the i'rab of Qur'an here? Mafulun bi. And the sign that it's of it being mansub is fatha. Okay, the second word that we want to look at here, and we want to be careful that we distinguish between allama and ta'allama. The second word, ta'allama, came first in the hadith. Ta'allama, it is the past tense. Ta'allama means to learn. To learn, the one who is learning. Ta'allama is past tense. He learned. Yata'allamu, he is learning or he does learn. Mudari form. The past tense, madi, is ta'allama. The present tense, mudari, is yata'allamu. The amr, command form or imperative form, is ta'allam. The amr, ta'allam, means, yani, someone is being commanded to learn, and the masdar, the infinitive, is ta'allum, yani, with tanween to indicate that what? It's a noun. Yani, it's in this case, it is indefinite. The masdar, ta'allumun. Yani, so make a distinction between the fi'l amr, the imperative form, ta'allam, with fatha and sukoon on the meme, and ta'allum, with dhamma, and tanween on the meme. Ta'allam with fatha is command form. Yani learn. Ta'allum is the infinitive, the masdar, meaning learning. Ta'allum. For example, how this word is used, taqulu, number one, ta'allamtu al-lughata al-arabiyyata wa ana saghirun. Ta'allamtu al-lughata al-arabiyyata. What is the meaning? وَأَنَا صَغِيرٌ while I was young. تَعَلَّمْتُ يعني from تَعَلَّمَ أَنَا تَعَلَّمْتُ اللُّغَةَ الْعَرَبِيَّةَ. You know, two in the past tense verb It always means the first person singular, right? You say jalastu, I sat, qara'atu, I read, sharibtu, I drank, and so on. Ta'allamtu, ana, I learned. Ta'allamtu al-lughata al-arabiyata, the Arabic language. Wow here doesn't mean n. I learned the Arabic language and I was small. Wow here is not wow al-atif, conjunction. This is wow al-hal, which means yani explaining the condition, what condition you were in while you did what preceded. Yeah, I learned the Arabic language while I was in what condition? While I was young. Wa ana saghirun. While I was young. That was my condition. While I was learning the Quran, it was when I was young. تعلمت اللغة العربية وأنا صغير while I was young. Second statement, أنا الآن أتعلم اللغة الإنجليزية. أنا الآن, I am now أتعلم, learning اللغة الإنجليزية. اللغة الإنجليزية, English language. I am now learning the English language. يعني تعلم is the past tense. The present tense we said is يتعلم أنا أتعلم. أنا أتعلم اللغة الإنجليزية. The third statement is تعلم. 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 Which form of the verb is this? تعلم with فتح and سكون on the mean. It's the أمر. This is the أمر. With ضم تعلم means what? Is the master learning. Ta'allam, learn. That's an imperative form. Yani the command form. Ta'allam qiyadata as-sayyarati fa'innaha mufidatun. Ta'allam qiyadata as-sayyarati fa'innaha mufidatun. What does it mean? Learn to drive the car. Fa'innaha mufidatun. Because indeed it is useful. Yani here we have ta'allam, the command form, imperative ta'allam. We have qiyada, which means driving, qiyada. As-sayyara is mudafun ilayhi majroor. Yani driving of the car. Yani learn how to drive. Fa'innaha, because fa'innaha, indeed it. Ha here, innaha is referring back to what? Qiyada, qiyada. Naam, driving. It's referring back to the word qiyada, which is feminine. فَإِنَّهَا مُفِيدَةٌ. For indeed, it is beneficial. Have any question about these two words? عَلَّمَ and تَعَلَّمَ. And the forms of the verb, past tense, present tense, فِي الْأَمْرَ, command form and imperative. تَعَلَّم, command. تَعَلُّم, master, infinitive. Huh? طيب. After this, the word that comes in this hadith also is خيركم. خيركم, the meaning of it is أفضلكم. أفضلكم. What is the meaning of خيركم? أفضلكم. يعني the best of you. يعني أفضلكم means the best, most preferable, superior. نعم. The one who has excelled. خيركم أفضلكم. And this is composed of two words. خير is one word, it means good, and كم, we said, is the second person masculine plural pronoun. Second person masculine plural pronoun. خيركم. And here we mean, we don't mean masculine only, but we mean everyone. خيركم, all of you. Naam, the best of you all. Naam, you have a question?
Yes, okay, like you said, تعلم means to learn. He learned, right?
Naam.
يتعلم means he's learning.
يتعلم, he's learning. Naam, present tense.
Okay, got it.
Now, okay, let's turn the page for the munaqisha, discussion of this hadith, on page 25. At the top of the page, the first section, or the first any group of questions, ajib amma ya'ti, meaning answer the following, answer concerning what follows. The first question, udhkur hadithan fi fadli تعلم with dhamma. تعلم. تعلم. This is the masdar. تعلم. Learning. Al-Quran. وتعليمه. Okay, so we have two masdars here. We have تعلم. يعني فضلي. تعلم. This is the masdar from تعلم. يتعلم. تعلم. يعني learning. And ta'alimihi, yani the last word, wa ta'alimihi, ta'alim is the masdar from allama, yu'allimu ta'alim. Yani meaning teaching it. Okay, so the question, udhkur hadithan, mention a hadith, fi fadli, yani concerning the excellence or the superiority of ta'allum, ta'allumi, fadli, ta'allumi. Yani fadlu is mudaf and ta'allumi is mudafun ilayhi majroor. Fadli ta'allumi al-Qur'ani is mudaf to ta'allum. And wa is atif here, conjunction. And also ta'alim, yani teaching, ta'alimihi, teaching it. Mention a hadith concerning the excellence or the superiority of ta'allum, yani learning the Quran, wa ta'alimihi, and teaching it. Now, Shuaib.
An Uthman radiallahu anhu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allamahu, rawahu Bukhari.
Oh, Bukhari. Naam, Jamil. خيركم
خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه
reported by
وروه
البخاري أحسنت ما شاء الله جزاك الله خير جميل الحمد لله طيب we're gonna come إن شاء الله we're gonna go to the next question which is almost the same question okay أكمل الحديث complete the hadith خيركم من يعني complete the hadith Yani what is written here is the first two words, khayrukum, men, completed. Now, recite.
Okay. Khayrukum, man ta'allama al-Qur'ana, ta'allama al-Qur'an, wa ta'allama.
Wa'allamahu, naam. Khayrukum, men, men. The first one, ta, ta'allama. Second one without ta, naam. Okay, second question was akmal al-hadith. Next question, third question, yani on page 25, first group of questions. Man al-sahabi al-ladhi rawa hadha al-haditha khayrukum man wa man al-muhaddith al-ladhi akhrajahu. Yani first part of the question, man al-sahabi al-ladhi rawa hadha al-hadith. Naam, Mustafa.
As-sahabi.
Naam. Sahabi is singular. Sahabi is singular. Naam. Sahaba is plural. Naam.
Alladhi
rawa.
Rawa hadithu Usmanu.
Naam. As-sahabi alladhi rawa hadha al-haditha huwa Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. طيب second part of the question ومن المحدث من المحدث الذي أخرجه what is the meaning of the question first
who
is the scholar of hadith who أخرج هذا الحديث who collected it يعني brought forth for us يعني this hadith from its sources who is the scholar of hadith who يعني reported it in his book نعم أبو بكر نعم المحدث الذي أخرجه الإمام البخاري رحمه الله طيب second set of questions on the back ما معنى خيركم ما معنى خيركم what is the meaning of the question first what is the meaning of this expression خيركم in Arabic نعم عبد الرحمن
خيركم معنى أفضلكم
نعم خيركم معناه أفضلكم أفضلكم in English the best of you جزاك الله خير طيب question number 2 هاتي المضارع والأمر والمصدر من تعلم وعلم يعني three things المضارع والأمر والمصدر from the verb تعلم and from the verb علم one at a time تعلم first We want يعني تعلم is the past tense, we went to present tense, the amra and the masdar. From تعلم, تعلم. Okay, تعلم is past tense, what's the mudari, present tense? Now. تعلم يتعلم. يعني يعلم is from علم يعلم. تعلم يتعلم. That's the mudari. What's the amra? نعم. تعلم. تعلم with فتة تعلم. And the مصدر ها تعلمون تعلم تعلم يعني تعلم with تنوين. It's a noun. تعلم تعلم يعني تعلم with سكون on the end is the فعل أمر. تعلم is the masdar, ta'allum. Okay, for the second verb, allama, allama. We want the present tense, the fi'l amra, and the masdar. From allama, what's the mudari? Allama? Yu'allimu. The amra? Allim. Yani with kasra and sukun on the meme. Allim. Shadda on the lam. Allim. And the masdar? Ta'alimun. Ta'alimun. Naam. طيب, after this, the last question, أدخل كلا من تعلم وعلم في جملة مفيدة. What is the meaning of this question? Enter or use each one of these words. يعني تعلم and علم في جملة مفيدة. In a beneficial sentence, a complete sentence. Okay, somebody give us a sentence with تعلم and somebody else give us a sentence with علم. نعم, أبو بكر. Huh? The first one, okay, it's okay, you can start with علم, no problem. علمني فلان اللغة العربية. Yeah, he said somebody taught me the Arabic language. علمني so and so اللغة العربية. علمني so and so اللغة العربية. طيب, تعلم. تعلم. What is the meaning of تعلم? Okay, اختلف العلماء. And we have one group saying it means teach, and the other group saying it means learn. Who knows for sure what is the meaning of تعلم? تعلم means to learn. علم means to teach. تعلم means to learn. Okay, somebody give us a sentence with تعلم. Learning, learning. Now, past tense. You gave us the last one. Somebody else. Somebody else. No sentence with تعلم. Oh, I'm sorry, Faiz. I didn't see Faiz. I didn't know you were here. You're quiet today. Huh?
تعلم اللغة العربية.
Okay, تعلم اللغة العربية. What is the meaning?
He
learned the Arabic language. تعلم اللغة العربية. طيب. Anybody else have a sentence? نعم. تعلمت. تعلمت قيادة السيارة. في أمريكا. طيب. Okay, this is يعني the questions for this particular hadith, just a few questions, and you know, I just want to just read very very quickly, very very briefly, some comments concerning this very important hadith. One of the scholars, At-Tibi, he says, وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ تَقْيِيدِ التَّعَلِّمِ وَالتَّعْلِيمِ بِالْإِخْلَاصِ فمن أخلصهما وتخلق بهما دخل في زمرة الأنبياء. يعني after some discussion of this hadith, الإمام المناوي in his explanation of الجامع الصغير فيض القضية, he after mentioning some discussion concerning this hadith, he quotes from الطيبي رحمه الله. He says, ولا بد من تقييد التعلم والتعليم بالإخلاص. That is necessary to understand this hadith, that we restrict or we define the meaning of learning and teaching here, that we define it or that we qualify it with ikhlas. Yani not everybody who learns and teaches the Quran fits into this, that they are the best of the Muslims. Rather, it's a necessity that we, what? That we qualify it. That the meaning here, whoever learns the Quran sincerely for the sake of Allah, whoever teaches the Quran sincerely for the sake of Allah, then this is the best of you. As far as the one who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran for some other worldly reason, he's not the best of you. Because the thing that is pleasing to Allah, that the person excels with, is not just praying, but praying with ikhlas and al-mutaba. Yani things have to be qualified. Okay, so here the Shaykh is saying that we should qualify our understanding of this, and don't just imagine that every person who learns and teaches the Quran that they are the best of us. Rather, it means the one who has done it sincerely for the sake of Allah. We have to qualify with this, and that means that, of course, in everything that we do, we qualify it with, yani the conditions for a deed to be acceptable. How can it be the best of deeds if it's not even acceptable to Allah? And it would never be accepted unless what? It's done sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Al-Manawi is a scholar from India who made the explanation of Al-Imam al-Suyuti's book Al-Jami al-Saghir, very important book of hadith. And Al-Manawi, he made an explanation. His name is Al-Imam Abdurrauf Al-Manawi. He was a great scholar from India, and he wrote this explanation of Al-Jami al-Saghir, a very famous book of hadith. He made an explanation of it, and in his explanation he quotes from At-Tibi this particular statement. And his book is called Faid Al-Qadir, the explanation, Sharh of Al-Jami al-Saghir. Faid Al-Qadir, Sharh Jami al-Saghir. Okay, this is one thing. Also, I wanted to say here, it also has been mentioned that Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, his explanation, who's the explainer of Sahih al-Bukhari, he says, in clarification of the angles from which the khayriya, yani from, we're saying khayrukum, the best of you, this khayr, yani maybe looked at from different angles, the goodness of the one who teaches the Quran, yani who learns the Quran, who teaches the Quran, and who, yani, and the one who learns it. He said, there's no doubt that combining between ta'allum al-Qur'an wa ta'alimihi, yani learning the Qur'an and teaching it, is mukmil linafsihi wa lighayrihi. Yani, in this way, the person who combines both of these things, that is learning the Qur'an and teaching it, then they have completed, yani they have perfected the goodness for their self and for others. And for their self and for others. And they have combined between an-nafa' al-qasir wa-nafa' al-muta'addi. Yani they have joined two things. Benefiting that's limited. Al-qasir, limited to yourself. Yani you learn the Quran, that's benefit, but it's limited to yourself. Wal-nafa' al-muta'addi. And the benefit that extends to others. He said there's no doubt that this person has combined between that which the benefit that's limited, meaning to oneself, and the benefit that is extended to others. And for this reason, this one who does so is the best. And he is also from amongst those who is intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his saying when he said, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَالَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Yani he said that this one, yani who does this, who learns the Quran and teaches it, who benefits himself and benefits others, then he is from amongst those that is intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this saying that who is the best in speech, who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah and amal as-salihan and does good deeds. Meaning they do good deeds for their own self and they also call others to benefit the others. So they combine between the benefit that is limited to yourself and the benefit that extends to others. Who is better in speech than this one? Yani the one who calls to Allah to benefit others and does good deeds to benefit themselves. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and says that indeed I am from amongst the Muslimin, meaning the Muwahideen, the people of Tawheed. And then the Shaykh says, وَالدُّعَاء, yani he's quoting, this is a quote from Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, he's saying, وَالدُّعَاء إِلَى اللَّهِ, yani calling to Allah, يَكَعَى بِأُمُورَ شَطَّى, yani it may occur through different things. Calling to Allah is not just one way, da'wah is not just one thing, but there are different aspects of da'wah. And he said, yani from amongst them, amongst the aspects of da'wah is teaching the Quran. وَهَذَا أَشْرَفْ الْجَمِيعَ, and it is the most noble and honorable of all of the different aspects of da'wah. The greatest of them, the most noble of them, is teaching the Quran, the speech of Allah, the book of Allah. And he said that this is, yani he's quoting from Ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, he said, ثُمَّ أَفَادَ أَنَّ لَيْسَ الْمُرَادِ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ مَنْ كَانَ قَارِنًا أَوْ قَارِئًا أَوْ مُقْرِئًا مَحْضًا لَا يَفْهَمْ شَيْئًا مِنْ مَعَانِي مَا يَقْرَى أَوْ يُقْرِعَ. Yani he's saying here what? That You should also know that what is intended here is not, yani this hadith, what is intended by it is not the one who is simply a reader or reciter of the Quran, just a good reader, a good reciter. But rather, yani the one who just recites the Quran, but he doesn't, لا يفهم شيئا من معاني ما يقرأه. But he doesn't understand anything of what he's reciting. This is not what's intended here. And we find this in the world today, that there are people, mashallah, they have memorized the Quran, and they recite it very beautifully, with the rules of tajweed and everything. But then if you ask them about any of these ayahs that they are reciting, what do they mean? What is the significance? What are the ahkam that come from them? What is the aqidah that's based upon them? They don't have a clue. La yafham shay'a. La yafham shay'a. And that's not what is intended here. And we should keep this in mind. That it's not sufficient that we just teach our children the Quran. Certainly we should teach them the Quran. But also we should make sure that they are equipped and enabled to understand the Quran. So that when they recite the Quran, they benefit from it. Otherwise, just reciting the Quran without knowing what you are saying, not having a clue of what are its meanings. So what is the intent of the revelation? What is the purpose, the objective of Allah revealing the Quran? To guide the people. How will a person be guided? By reciting something they don't have a clue what it means. Without having a clue of what it means. And of course, the best way to do this is that we have to learn Arabic language. We have to learn the Arabic language so that when we study the Quran, we understand something from it. And it doesn't mean that a person has to perfect the Arabic language. Perhaps a person may read the meanings of the Quran, the tafsir of the Quran, in their own language. The scholars in other languages have also explained the Quran, not just in Arabic. But if a person has access to Arabic, then the field is wide open for them. Whereas in other languages, it will be very limited. For example, a person doesn't know Arabic and they only know English, and they want to read tafsir of the Quran. What books of tafsir are available in English? What books? Not even one book, but rather what's available is the summary of Ibn Kathir. That's just a summary of Ibn Kathir. Those 9 volumes or whatever there, that's a summary of Ibn Kathir. Not even one book of tafsir is translated into English completely. Not even one book. So that means we are very limited. If a person only knows English, then they want to read tafsir, mashallah, they're going to benefit from that summary. But it's a summary though. That's a mukhtasar. That's not the whole tafsir of Ibn Kathir. That summary is based on a book that Dar al-Salam published. They translated and they also published the summary in one volume, one big fat volume. That's what that is. As far as the whole Ibn Kathir, yani maybe it's 2 times bigger than that. In any case, we don't want to belittle that effort. That's a tremendous effort. But what we are trying to say here is what? That even if a person doesn't know Arabic, they may read tafsir in their own language. But they're going to be limited. And alhamdulillah, benefit from whatever tafsir is in the language that the person knows. But know that it's limited. But as far as in Arabic, then it's unlimited. Because how many books of tafsir, scholars of the past, people of sunnah have written explanations of the Quran? Unlimited. Unlimited. Okay, so these are some of the things I wanted to mention, but you know, because of the shortness of time, we're going to stop here because we only have a couple of minutes remaining. We want to go over the hadith for next week before we run out of time, because I know I'm going to get a note in a minute from the sisters saying read the hadith for next week.
I have a question.
Okay. Naam. You have a question?
Right. You said, and I do agree that to qualify. Vocabulary, understanding and acting upon it, and the meaning of which is ikhlas.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, like, if someone, and I've seen some people do it.
Brothers, the brothers asking a very important question. Now.
Right. If my question is, if someone learn it, understanding, act upon it, and teaches it, however, charge for any reason, like maybe to pay the rent or the masjid.
Charge.
Like,
okay.
Charge people.
You're saying, is it permissible to charge people to teach the Quran? It's possible. It's possible that a person might be employed as a teacher, for example, a school teacher, right? And the subject that they teach is math, and the other teacher teaches science, and one teacher teaches Quran.
Right.
So that's his job. Is it permissible for him to receive a salary for his job? Of course it is. No. But the person has to be careful. But the person has to be careful. I'm saying, if a person has a job, okay, in the Muslim countries, for example, the government, the Muslim governments, hire people to teach the Muslims in their country, in the masjids, teach them Quran. That's the person's job. Yani he frees himself up. He doesn't have a chance to go and work on another job because he's occupied with this job. And he's being paid for that. And there's no harm in it. But a person has to be careful. And if that's a person's job, they have to be careful that they make sure that their intent in learning the Quran and teaching the Quran is for the sake of Allah. Even if they're receiving some help, because they're occupying all of their time in doing this work. So when will they be able to take care of their own needs, right? If they say, I'll teach only 2 hours a day so I can go and work. Fine. But if they say, no, you have to work 8 hours a day. We need you like every day, 5-6 days a week. Then when will he make a living? So then they will compensate him. Then that's permissible, inshallah. But this is a little bit sensitive area. Person has to be careful that they're not doing it just for the money, but rather the money is a help to them to be able to live while they are occupied with this work for the sake of Allah. And a person is occupied for the sake of Allah, and somebody is helping them. Yani whether it's the government or private people saying, look, you know, the sheikh is always teaching, he's always in the masjid, he's teaching the children, teaching the adults, he's giving the khutbah, he's doing all kind of things, and he doesn't have money to pay his rent, we should help him. No harm in doing that. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Whether it's official with the government, or whether it's private or otherwise, there's no harm, inshallah. But the person has to make sure that their initial intention, their primary intention, is doing it for the sake of Allah, not for the money. And most of the people who are teaching Quran, yani they're not teaching for money, because they are not receiving much salary. Yani they will make more money if they just go and teach math or science. Okay? So, yani if they be a policeman or a carpenter or something, they're going to make more money. So, the people who are teaching Quran, for the most part, inshallah, we hope that they're not doing it for money, because they're not making much money. Okay, but still a person has to be careful. We want to stop here, because we're going to run out of time in a little while. The hadith for next week is on page 26, Ad-Darsu Al-Hadi Ashara. Ad-Darsu Al-Hadi Ashara, the 11th hadith. And this hadith is an Ibn Umar. An Ibn, yani Ibn here is with Kasra because of the preposition an. An Ibn Umar. And Umar is mudafun ilayhi. Yani it is mudaf to Ibn. Mudafun ilayhi majroor. And the sign that it's majroor is not Kasra. It's what? Fatha. Why? Because mamnoom and asarf. Okay, so it's an Ibn Umar. Radiallahu anhuma. Radiallahu anhuma. Meaning what? Both of them. Who was the both of them? The father and son. Yani Abdullah is the son. He is the son of Umar. So Ibn Umar, we mean by that what? Abdullah Ibn Umar. May Allah be pleased with Abdullah and his father Umar. Radiallahu anhuma. Both of them. Qala, he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tamna'u nisa'akum, with fatta on the word nisa'a. Nisa'akum. Yani why is nisa'akum? Yani fatta here is because it's the maf'ulun bi. It's the object of the verb tamna'u. La tamna'u nisa'akum. Do not prevent your women. Al-masajida. From the masjids. Do not prevent your women, yani from attending the masjids, as long as there's no expectation or anticipation of harm coming to them. Do not prevent your women from attending the masajid. La tamna'u nisa'akumul masajida wa buyutuhunna, and their homes. Buyut, yani their homes. Buyutuhunna, and their homes is khayrun lahunna. Khayrun lahunna should be lam with fatta, ha with dhamma. Lam, that's lam written on top of the ha. Lam ha. La hunna. Wa buyutuhunna khayrun lahunna. Rawahu Abu Dawood. Okay? The hadith from Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tamna'u nisa'akum al-masajida. وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ. Yani do not prevent your women from the masajid, from the masjids, from attending the masjids, as long as there's no harm in their attending, and it's not dangerous or anything. وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ, and their homes, meaning the prayer, their prayer in their homes is khayrun, it's better lahunna for them. Their praying in their home is better for them, but yani it's permissible for them to go to the masjid as long as there's no expectation of harm. Now, the general rule, the Prophet ﷺ said, yani a person can pray Salatul Duha anywhere, doesn't matter. A man or a woman, they can pray Salatul Duha wherever they are, it doesn't matter. But the reward of praying the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah, and sitting remembering Allah until sunrise, and then praying 2 rak'ah or 4 rak'ah, that's for the person who prays in the masjid, in Jama'ah, and sits in the masjid until the sun has risen a little, huh? Like 15 or 20 minutes after sunrise. And then they pray 2 rak'ah, or according to some narrations, 4 rak'ah. Then the Prophet ﷺ said they would have the reward of Hajj wa Umrah. Tamatan, tamatan, tamatan. Yani complete reward for Hajj and Umrah. Okay, this is the reward for the person who what? Prays in the masjid with the jama'ah, with the imam that leads the salat, not the people who came later and made a second jama'ah, which is questionable whether or not it's even permissible. And if it's even legislated. But the point is, means the people who pray with the imam at the time of the adhan and iqamah in jama'ah, and then they sat in the masjid, remained in the masjid where they prayed, remembering Allah until the sun has risen somewhat, and then they pray, yani 2 rak'ah or 4 rak'ah, they will get the reward of Hajj and Umrah, complete reward of Hajj and Umrah. As far as a woman, if she prayed in the masjid, yani, and it's not normal for the women to pray in the masjid, Fajr prayer, but if she prayed in the masjid and then went home, no harm. But the reward, though, is for the person who remains in the place where they prayed until sunrise. As far as the woman who doesn't go to the masjid, which is what is normal, and this is what this hadith is talking about, that praying in her home is better for her, then that hadith is not applicable to that, to a woman who prays at home. It's applicable to the person who prays in the masjid in jama'ah. But there's no doubt, if the woman prays in her home, the Prophet ﷺ said what? وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ. So Allah is not unjust. If He said that it's better for you to pray at home, inshallah, Allah will give them full reward for praying in their home. Yani, more reward than praying in the masjid. Because praying in the home is better for the women than praying in the masjid. In the same way, the praying in the masjid is better for men than praying at home. And the man who prays in the masjid gets a greater reward than the man who prays at home. And the woman who prays at home gets a greater reward than the woman who prays in the masjid. Because this is what has been legislated in Islam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Please, yani, review the hadith that we took previously. Today we reviewed hadith 1, 2, 3 and 4. Somebody remind me, next week we're going to review 5 and 6 and 7, whatever we can do, yani, in the beginning of the class, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.